ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
In the discussion of ideal family life comes one of the important parts of family life, offering oblations to the forefathers. This is actually the whole purpose of family life, that one should have a son for the sake of offering oblations. What is that? Kriyate bhavaya pinda artha prayojanam. One should take a wife only for the sake. Putrat kriyate bhavaya pinda artha prayojanam. One should take a wife for the purpose of having a son, so that in future he'll be able to offer oblations to yourself and to other forefathers. There are different stories in the Shastras, just like Agastya Muni. He was once traveling around, as sannyasis and brahmacharis are wont to do, when he saw all his forefathers hanging upside down from a tree. So he wondered, what's going on? Why are you in this horrible position? So, because you didn't have any sons. So we're obliged to have this horrible situation unless you have sons and they can offer us shad, then we'll have to suffer like this. So even a great sage, he may have to suffer the consequences of not following all his duties very nicely. There are so many duties to perform, so many debts to perform. As soon as you're born, you have so many debts to the demigods, because they supply, they're the agents of the Supreme Lord, who provide heat, light, water, air. So we're indebted to them. Devarshi, we're indebted to the rishis who give us instructions, like these instructions, how to live in human society. Of course, in modern society, they don't follow anything the rishis say. Therefore, they're more unfortunate. But we're indebted to other living beings. Just like in modern society, there's very much the idea of be on your own, do your own thing, stand on your own strength, be independent. But you can't be independent. If you want to be totally independent, then if you want to be totally independent of human society, then go to the forest. Because the food you're eating is grown by someone else. But even if you go to the forest, you're dependent upon the tree to give you some fruit. The tree is also a living being. So we're dependent on other living beings. Then we're dependent upon animals also. Animals also give us so much service. Of course, in the modern society, the functions of animals, such as plowing fields, transporting, they've been replaced by machines. But still we find people, then they become dependent for affection on a dog, a cat, or a budgerigar. Devarshi Bhutapta Minam Pitrinam. And we're also we're indebted to the forefathers by whose agency we got this body. We have so many debts. Only a person who fully surrenders to Krishna is free from these debts. Devarshi Bhutapta Minam Pitrinam Na Kinkaro Nayam Reni Charajan Sarvatmana Yah Sharanam Sharanam Yangatomo Kandam Parikritakaratam. Bhagavatam stated that someone who surrenders to Mukunda, the giver of liberation, he is free from these debts. So, as long as one is not fully surrendered to Krishna, unless he dedicates his life in that way, then he has many karmic debts to overcome. So, sometimes people will criticize the devotees of Krishna consciousness. Why aren't you looking after your family properly? Actually, this is an important function which is neglected in modern society. Looking after the parents. But for one who fully becomes a devotee of Krishna, then he looks after the parents in a better way than the parents could even imagine. Because it is the duty, just like you'll find in Bhagavatam, even Krishna himself says to Vasudeva and Devaki that we didn't look after you, it is the duty of the children to look after the parents. So we didn't discharge that duty. So that is one duty, to look after the parents in their old age, to give them, provide them food, clothing, and shelter, just as the parents did for the child in childhood. So when the parent becomes old and infirm and unable to look after himself, then it's the duty of the children also to look after the parents. But one who's fully surrendered to Krishna, one who has made that his goal of life, he may not do that because he is cultivating Krishna consciousness by which he goes back to Godhead and he carries his parents back to Godhead by the strength of that Krishna consciousness. However, even in Krishna consciousness, we see that, for instance, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was visiting South India, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he was a young boy at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Sri Ranga. So Gopal Bhatta, he was to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, wait till your parents have passed away. You look after them first. Because they are Vaishnavas, you look after them, and then when they pass away, then you come and you go to Vrindavan, and I'll see you there. Same thing, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He was, his parents, his father was Tapan Mishra, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. In his youth, Tapan Mishra, he was living in East Bengal, and he was a bookworm. The same word comes in English and in Bengali, boy poka. It exactly means bookworm, has exactly the same meaning. It means a bug that crawls in and out of books. And it also means a person who simply reads a lot of books without coming to any conclusion. So Tapan Mishra, he read many books and he became very confused. You know anyone like that, Rajiv? Who reads lots of books and becomes confused? Doesn't come to any conclusion. So he read so many books and he didn't come to any conclusion and he was wondering. Sadhya sadhana tattva. What is the goal of life and how to attain it? So he was wondering like this. While he was walking to the toilet, he was wondering. While he was eating his food, he was wondering. While he was going to sleep, he was wondering, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? And he thought, well, maybe Yoga Vasishta, this is correct. But then again, Sankhya philosophy says this. But then again, Shankaracharya said this. And in this way, he was spoiling his valuable human life on the mental platform. So then in a dream, he was directed by a Brahmana because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to East Bengal to collect money as discharging his household duty. Dhana Uparjanam is said in. He went to collect money. A Brahmana would collect money by teaching others. And then people may give him some donation if he's good enough to teach others, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. So he was going, making his way through East Bengal up to the place of his forefathers. So in the dream, one Brahmana said to Tapan Mishra that, why are you sitting here wondering what is the goal of life? This Nimai Pandit has come close to you. Go and see him. He will tell you what to do. He knows. Go and see him. So Tapan Mishra went to see him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the goal of life and how to obtain it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, Shadha Shadha Tatta Jai Kichu Shakal Hari Nama Shankirtane Milibe Shakal Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhu Kahe Kahilam E Maha Mantra Eha Japa Gya Shave Kare Nibandha Eha Haite Sharva Shindhi Hoi Beshava Sarvakam Kahanam Vidinahya. He told that Sadhya Sadhana Tattva, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? All the truths concerning this are all compressed in the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now I told you the Maha Mantra, not only you, but everyone should chant this constantly, following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. Just by this, everyone, by everyone means everyone. Sri, Vridha, Balak means women, old people, children, there's no consideration. Everyone can attain perfection. Eha haite sarva siddhi, all perfection, hoi vai shava. Therefore, everyone should simply chant Hare Krishna and engage in the activities of Krishna consciousness. There's no need of anything else. So Tapan Mishra, he was convinced of this, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, go to Varanasi, I'll meet you there. This time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in householder life. There was no plan to take sannyas. But anyway, he told him, go there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him there, and Tapan Mishra's young son was Raghunath. So Raghunath, in his childhood, used to massage the legs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take his Mahaprasad. Then when he got a little older, he came to Puri and said, "Now I've come to join you." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "That's very nice. Just go home and look after your parents because they are Vaishnavas. When they pass away, you come and join them." Another case was Raghunath Das Goswami, whose father and uncle, whose names were, anyone know? Didn't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. So they were also Vaishnavas, but they were somewhat materialistic also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted when, of course, when Raghunath Das ran away from home at first, he didn't accept. He said, "No, no, you stay at home and execute ideal household life. And don't be a madman," he told him. "Don't be a madman in all this running away from home business. When the time is right, then you come." So the time became right after Raghunath Das Goswami took blessings from Lord Nityananda. He wanted to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that. But when he took blessings from Lord Nityananda, that you have to go through Guru, you cannot approach directly to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he ran away from home and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. So even though his parents were also devotees, but they were also very much materially attached, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually accepted that this Raghunath is so serious, he ran away from home. "All right, let him stay under me." So these are different points, how to understand exactly what to do. Here we have the chapter, Ideal Family Life. You may think, well, let's finish this chapter as soon as possible. We're all brahmacharis. We don't want family life. We don't want ideal family life. But we do want ideal family life. You may not get married, you may or you may not. But we do want ideal family life because most people in human society are married and we have to preach to them. If we're going to preach to the world, we're talking about making the whole world Krishna conscious, then that doesn't just mean a few brahmacharis inside the ashram going out and distributing books. And if people ask, "Well, how can I be a devotee?" Well, join our temple. "But I have 4 children and that's all maya. Leave it." Well, it is maya, but you have to live within that situation and make it not maya by being Krishna conscious at home. So our devotees, they also have to know how to preach to people in family life how you can be Krishna conscious at home. It begins with taking one of those books that you've been distributing. Then when people read the book, then they may come to you and say, "Well, I read your book, it was wonderful, what should I do next?" "Well, here's another book." "Okay, great, I read that. Then what should I do now?" "Take a whole set." "Okay, now I got that. Now what do I do?" "Well, you could become a life member." "Okay, now what do I do?" "You can't buy any more books." "Well, Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna at home." But householders have their own problems. Actually, brahmachari life is very nice. You can travel, you can preach, and you don't have to worry about changing the nappies of the babies. Babies crying in the middle of the night, which they do. Of course, last night we had the patakas going off all night. So you may be a brahmachari. Fireworks, that you can't avoid, or the dogs barking. But the children are crying, and you can't tell them, "Shut up, you're in maya, chant your rounds." You have to look after them and goo goo gaga, all this kind of business. So there are many disturbances in household life. Brahmachari life is very nice. You can travel and preach. You don't have to worry about bringing money to maintain the family. You may have to bring money to maintain the temple, but you don't have to worry about this. And there's so many anxieties in household life. So it's very nice to be a brahmachari. But just like Shukdev Goswami was a brahmachari, and it is said of him, samsarinam karunaya. He was wandering, and then he met Parikshit Maharaj, and he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Of course, Parikshit Maharaj was just becoming detached from family life. But one purpose was, samsarinam karunaya, to show mercy to those who are bound up in material life. This word samsari means someone who is bound up in material life. And generally, in Indian languages, it refers to those who are householders. Generally, householders, the general word which householders will use is We say grihastha. So generally they'll say, I'm a samsari. Have you heard this? You're from India, but I'm asking our Western devotees. If you haven't heard this, they'll say, especially if they're taught, you're a brahmachari, I'm samsari. It means one who's entangled in material life. Family life is the cause of bondage in this material world. Pum sastriya mitani bhava metam tayara ho riddhya grantama ho ato grihakshetra sutapta vitaya janasya mohoyam ahammameti. The attraction between male and female is the binding principle of material life. And when man and woman actually unite in family life, then it becomes like a hard knot on the heart. And one becomes attached to home, family, wife, children, money, bank balance, all these things. And one thinks in terms of I, me and mine, and becomes bound up in Maya. So, what should we advise these people? Shankaracharya, he advised, take sannyas. That was his advice, take sannyas. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice was different. Grihe thako, bane thako, sada hari bale thako. Whether you live at home or whether you live in the forest, chant the names of Krishna. Because it's not possible for everybody to give up family life immediately. And even if you do become a sannyasi but you're not Krishna conscious, then it's useless. Even if you're a great sannyasi, you only eat one bay leaf every day and you pull the hairs out of your head or whatever crazy things you do. Then, dharmasvanushtitakam sang vishvaksena katasuyana padiyat yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam. Even if you're a renounced sannyasi, but you don't have an attachment to Krishna, then it's a useless waste of time. On the other hand, if you're a householder, but you are attached to Krishna, then you can be a paramahamsa even in family life. Although, generally, family life means entanglement, but our acharyas have shown, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the ideal of a paramahamsa in grihastha life. So in our preaching, though we ourselves, those who are brahmacharis, we're not recommending generally get married, though we may do also in individual cases. Just like one devotee, who was a leading devotee in our movement at the time, he approached Prabhupada, who's a brahmachari. Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada looked at him and said, you should get married. So it's not that everyone will remain brahmachari. So many brahmacharis will get married. But you don't have to, especially if you're living in India. You can live just peaceful life, travel, preach, and be happy. But the majority of people are married or will be married, so we have to know also how to sympathize with them, not simply condemn them, and give them a path how they can become purified even in family life. Purification means becoming attached to Krishna instead of being attached to home, wife, children, all these things. We have to be attached to Krishna. But then again the question comes, just like in Russia last year, someone came to me who is new in Krishna consciousness and said, well, now I want to become detached from my wife. He's only chanting Hare Krishna for 2 months and he's decided that now I want to dump my wife, who's also chanting Hare Krishna. So that's not proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. That is not that he's become, not that suddenly he's become so renounced, or even if he did feel so much renounced, he's already married and especially his wife's also chanting Hare Krishna. So he should take responsibility. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean a lack of responsibility. He should take responsibility to look after his wife within Krishna consciousness. We don't recommend false renunciation. If a man is in family life, there may be some rare cases. Actually, Prabhupada also gave sannyas to some young men who were married. But nowadays we're not doing that. Prabhupada was doing that. That was an emergency for getting the movement started. But hardly we reckon. Towards the end, different devotees of Prabhupada stay in this world. Devotees were coming to Prabhupada, married men, and saying, Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. And Prabhupada was saying, then what about your wife? Who will look after her? At least you should give her a son, Prabhupada wrote to one devotee. At least you have to give her a son. The son has to grow up, and the son can look after the mother. So these are practical considerations also. Krishna consciousness is not something impractical. We have to live in this world, and most people live, they're going to live in family life. So how are we to live? Just like we say, all right, rise early, chant 16 rounds, follow sadhana, all these things. Actually, for those who are living in the ashram, it's much easier, even though we find, even then, some people find it difficult to rise early in the morning, despite having all facilities. Somehow or other, they're not able to do this. But living in the ashram means you have to follow very strictly. Living in family life, we should follow as strictly as possible, but it may not be possible to follow as strictly. If you don't, in family life, if you have, say, three children or even one child, and then you have to look after, and you have to work also, there are so many different things. It's like I'm saying, that very often, usually the children, they may cry all night, and it may be very difficult for you to rise early in the morning. So some understanding has to be there, some adjustment has to be there. Or if your husband has to go to work by 8 o'clock in the morning, then you can't have Bhagavan to him class up to 8:30 in the morning, because he has to go to work, and you may have to cook for him before he goes, and you have to get the children ready to go. So some adjustment is there. That has to be understood. Devotees who are preaching in the world, we have to know actually how to engage people in Krishna's service, how to preach to them, and how to encourage them so that they can come up in Krishna consciousness without imposing a regimen on them which is impossible for them to follow. Anyway, we see now there are many, many devotees all over the world who are not living in our temples, who are doctors, housewives, farmers, factory workers, not so many factory workers. Factory workers may also be there. Soldiers, all kinds of people who are living secular life, but they're taking to Krishna consciousness. So, how to guide them? Of course, this is maybe on, you may think this is on a level of maturity more than you are living in, because you're brahmacharis and you're going out and distributing books. But you have to come to this level of maturity of how to advise such people, because you're out in the world and you're preaching, and people are going to ask you. That it's all very, you're telling me, all right, rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds of all this. But what about, I have some practical considerations, that I have three daughters who need to get married. Of course, in the West, if you have three daughters and they need to get married, it doesn't matter at all. Just throw them on the street, that's all. They'll pick up some men, and even if you don't throw them on the street, they'll be out there, hunting, with all their shakti. So you don't have to worry. What you have to worry about is in case they have an abortion at the age of 12. And even then, they won't be worried. Where did you come from? I just came from the abortion clinic. Oh, that's nice. How much did it cost? I could have arranged it cheaper for you. So, in the West, there's no such concept of responsibility. But here, still, that is there. That if you have the family, you have to support, you have to look after the parents. So, actually, this is something our Western devotees should also learn. Now it's changing in India. The family values are going to hell because they're following the Western world. But in the Western world, they're very much lamenting because there is no such thing as a family, practically. And most children grow up with only one parent, or one of their parents actually isn't their parent because their mother remarried, or they may go through several parents. When their mother remarries and re-divorces and remarries and re-divorces and all this kind of thing. And this is going on. And people are beginning to realize in the Western countries that this is not very good. You're not going to make a very good society like this, even on the material level. Now, why do they have children forming gangs, children, 12 years old, 13 years old, forming gangs with submachine guns and having battles on the street over territories for selling drugs? And we're not talking about some isolated problem. We're talking about a widespread problem that children, 13, 14 years old, doing the, involved in big money drug sales and gang, murderous gangs. Why do we have that? That's the worst manifestation. But then you'll find that so many problems. The children are suffering more. They act in such a nasty way because the atmosphere they're brought up in, their guru and their mother and the father is the TV. Because the mother's at work and the father's at work. They're both at work. And the mother comes back late and they want to go to a party. They can't be bothered to look after the children. So the children have to cook for themselves means they get something out of the freezer and stick it in the microwave, and they watch TV and there's no one to supervise them, so they, on TV they watch someone killing someone else, so they think, well, that looks like fun, let's try that out. So they have no guidance. Their guidance is the TV. And the average American sees on TV 6,000 murders a year. So this is the culture they're being brought up in. So obviously, you can't expect a good society even from the material point of view. Even people want to live peacefully and enjoy sense gratification, but you can't even do that if you have such a crazy society. Even to enjoy sense gratification, you have to have some basic values, otherwise the society becomes totally corrupt. But because they lost the goal of life, they don't know the goal of life is Vishnu. They simply think that sense gratification is the goal of life. Therefore, their society has become totally like hell. People say, well, how can I believe in hell? Well, why don't you believe in hell? You're living in hell right now. You can't even walk on the street without the danger of someone immediately grabbing you and cutting your throat. In America, in some places, so we've heard from Parampara, from authorities, from the newspapers, which are the authorities in this case, we have to quote the appropriate authority, that in some places in New York, just like in the inner cities, in New York or Philadelphia, people come to mug you. That means put a knife in your throat and say, give your money. So if they say, I don't have any money, if they don't give you the money, then they'll kill you. And if you say, I don't have any money, then they may kill you also. They say, well, you don't have any money, what's the use of you being alive anyway? So they'll kill you. They'll just kill you. We went to all the trouble to mug you, and you couldn't even give us $10. You wasted our time. So we'll kill you as a punishment. So this is how, that when Prabhupada, you know, he was on a television show called Late Night Lineup in England. There's one of these television shows where the person who's interviewing you, he tries to put you down. He's expert at making you look like a fool and outwitting you and humiliating you. He's expert at this. So he called Prabhupada on the show. And the first question he asked was, Swamiji, do you believe in hell? Because when Prabhupada said yes, he wanted to make it look as if he's just completely absurd. Right? You get it? So Prabhupada said, yes, London is hell. It's always dark, 24 hours a day, there's no sunshine. It's always miserable and cold and raining. This is hell. So at the beginning, the man didn't know what to say. Because they think London, the capital of the British Empire, such a wonderful place, London. Prabhupada said, yes, this is hell. So the man, usually the people he's speaking to, they don't know what to say. But at the very beginning, he didn't know what to say. So Prabhupada, being very kind to him, he said, but it's to your credit that you made such a great civilization in this hellish place. Another time in London, one devotee, Krishna Vaishnava, I think it was, one of the she asked Prabhupada, is Bhagavad Gita spoken on the hellish planets? Prabhupada said, this is not hell, this is London, I'm speaking Bhagavad Gita here. So, what point were we at? The man was, London is hell, hellish. Yes, the whole society is hellish. Then how to make that sane? Actually, we know, without Krishna consciousness, the whole society is insane and is just like hell. Therefore, we're preaching, we're distributing these books. But we should know that distributing books is laying the foundation. But we also have to know how to build a house. How to build a house in which everyone can live. So especially here in India, you must have discovered, it's not exactly like distributing books in the West, where you go out at a certain time, you give people books, you go back to the temple, and if the people happen to walk into the temple after buying the book, then you preach to them. But rather, here, people expect a sadhu to be someone who interacts with them, one who interacts with them personally in the village or in the town, and they can give advice to them. They'll say, please bless my family. They take the sadhu to give blessings to their family. So,
Blessings, yes, good blessings, you give advice. You teach them within their own family situation how to be Krishna conscious. So our devotees, as preachers, the sannyasi, he's not. Actually, brahmacharis are out preaching, even maybe young brahmacharis, but practically, when you're preaching in India, you have to take the role of a sannyasi. Whereas in the West, as far as preaching to the public is concerned, sannyasi, brahmachari, doesn't make any difference to the public. But here, anyone coming in saffron, they may be, they're Bhakta Matya from Croatia, and they just put on some saffron robe. But people, they tend to, the guru, here's, of course, there's so many bogus gurus that they may not respect that much. But the general tendency is to accept, here is a saintly person. Here's someone who can help us and guide us. So, then you have to be careful also, because that respect people give, you don't get that in the West, but you have to be careful. One thing is not to be puffed up by that, but another thing is we have to learn how to discharge that role. We have to actually be able to give people advice, how to live in their family life and be Krishna conscious. And the basis of that is chanting Hare Krishna. And the rules and regulations are there. We should introduce that to people, but with understanding also. Because in family life, means if they're serious, they can do very nicely in Krishna conscious. We're seeing now, all over the world, that many people are preaching Krishna conscious. There's no center of ISKCON. There are many places where there's no center of ISKCON, but there are dozens of initiated devotees. And they're all grihasthas. I was just in Bahrain and Dubai. There's so many devotees chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, and they know some of them little girls. There's a whole group of little girls. They know dozens of Bhagavatam, Gita and Bhagavatam shlokas. And they learn on the phone before the devotee coaches them on the phone before they go to school in the morning. And once a week there's so many nice things. Nice devotee, learned in Shastra, preaching, able to convince others. They're doing very good, able to convince others. They're bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. Dancing like anything, dancing like a madman in the kirtan. Very nice. So this is really our next phase of expansion. All over the movement, everyone's understanding this now. That Krishna consciousness is not going to remain just a few devotees in the temples, but it has to spread literally to every town and village. And that means that not only we're going to preach to grihasthas, they're going to become devotees, but they're going to become our frontline preachers also, just like we have devotees here from Russia. Irina is from one village. So they're from a village, but they're chanting Hare Krishna. There's so many people like that. And in the village, they've got Prabhupada's books in the school, and they're giving some instruction like that. Another place where there's no ISKCON center, I was there last year, and there are a group of people like Namhata, they're chanting. Another man came from some place which is, you know, it's Russia, it's a big country. So he was living 200 kilometers from any ISKCON center in a small town, only 20,000 people. And he's also chanting, and his wife is chanting 16 rounds. And I just got a message on com that on Feed the World Day, they fed all the people in that town, 20,000 people. So, and he's a grihastha living at home. He comes every 2 or 3 months, he goes to Perm, which is the nearest temple, 200 kilometers away. And he gets some inspiration. So these things are going on. So many wonderful things are going on all over the world. Hare's movement is spreading in so many wonderful ways. And there are problems also. And there will be problems also. It's Kali Yoga. There were problems when Prabhupada was personally present here. There were so many problems. And when Prabhupada passed away, there were so many problems. And now there are so many problems. You'll find, for instance, that our devotees, they're all great Paramahamsas, but they can't always get on with each other. Even swans bite. They're all, whoever's dedicated their life to Krishna, they're a great personality, but even the great personalities, they may not get on with each other. But anyway, they're chanting Hare Krishna, and somehow or other things are going on. So, we shouldn't be too much disturbed. We have too much important work to do to be disturbed by anything. Even if this happens or that happens, whatever happens, some things remain as facts. One thing is, one sure fact, just like we have the sun rises in the east. Someday the sun may not rise in the east. It won't rise in the west. It won't rise at all because there won't be any more sun. The universe will come to an end. But even when the universe comes to an end, certain things will, Krishna will remain. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as it's stated in Prabhupada's books. It's not just a slogan, just like some people have slogans, jato mat tato tat. So it's not just a slogan. It happens to be a fact, not just a fact, but it is the fact on which all other facts rest, because Krishna is the absolute truth. And all other truths, that means relative truth, they depend upon something else. Just like we say it is true that the sun rises in the east. Why is that true? Because yat chakshareshu sabita sakala grahanam rajasamasta suryamurti rishesha teja yat yagya, by his order, yat yagya bhramati sangata kala chakra govindam adi purusham tamaham vajami. It is a fact that the sun is traveling in his fixed orbit. His fixed orbit, not its fixed orbit. The sun is a person, Surya Dev. Why? Yazya Gaya. On the order of Govinda, he is traveling. So even that we take as a fact, it is a fact. It is true that the sun is rising in the east. The sun is going in his orbit. But why? Because of Krishna. So all truths are relative to the absolute truth of Krishna. So that never changes. And that we are Krishna's eternal servant, that also never changes. So whatever anyone may say, do, think, whatever nonsense they may speak, whatever nonsense they may do, whatever wrong ideas we may get in our heads, this always remains the same. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are his eternal servants. So we shouldn't be disturbed too much by this, that, or the other, because the material world is a place of disturbance. Therefore, bhaja hore mana shri nanda nandana abhaya charanara vindure. Whatever else may happen in this world, Krishna's lotus feet, they are the steady factor that we can always depend on. Therefore we should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and become fearless. That whatever crazy things may happen in this world, and it is a crazy world, and it's getting crazier, but Krishna's lotus feet are the steady factor to take shelter of. Therefore, that is recommended. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnus, that Govinda Dasi. How does he sing that? Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dasya Re. Pujana Sakijana Atmana Vedana Govinda Dasa Abhilasha Re. So therefore, being fixed in this understanding that everything outside of Krishna and his service is all useless. Therefore we should be fixed at Krishna's lotus feet by serving him, by the process of hearing, chanting, remembering the nine processes of devotional service. And of the nine processes of devotional service, Dharma De Sarva Sreshta Nam Sankirtan, of all the nine processes of devotional service, most important is the chanting of the holy names. Niraparadhe Nam Vaile Pai Prem Dhan. If we can simply chant Hare Krishna without offenses, then very quickly we can achieve love of Krishna, which is our goal of life. Hare Krishna. Is there any question?
Not coming up in this verse, Shri Guru says, Shraddha for four fathers. In the Vaishnava Sila,
Shraddha means faith, and Shradh means ritualistic ceremony for the fathers. Yes. Do Vaishnavas do it or not? They may or may not do it. Householder Vaishnavas may or may not do it. Gopal Bhatta Goswami has made Kshatriya Sar Deepika, which is a book of rituals to be followed by Vaishnavas. So in that, he has given the Shraddha ceremony as it should be performed by Gauriya Vaishnavas. They may or may, they don't, it's not obligatory for them to do it, but they may do it.
It's not compulsory.
Though. It's not compulsory. Because if one surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna takes care of everything else.
How do we understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing this thing on Gaya?
No, he did, because he was taking the part of a materialistic person. At that time he was known as Nimai Pandit. And from the external point of view, he appeared as a materialistic scholar. So he went there. Actually, the real reason he went there was to meet Ishvara Puri and get initiation and become inspired by the Vishnu path. But this is stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the text itself. But he went through the leela of offering oblations for his forefathers, for his father.
What's the difference between ritual and duty?
Between ritual and duty? Well, they're two completely different words. Ritual means a function that is performed according to rules and regulations. Duty refers to an obligation. So I mean they're completely... It may be our duty to perform rituals, but they're different words. What's the difference between a shoe and a cabbage? They're different entities altogether. Kya prashna ho? Pucho? Pata? Kya prashna?
English word of Kaikarasi.
Oh, there's no English word. English was a language developed for business and sex life. That's all. There's no word for such things. That one king of Spain or something, he said that I speak English for business, French to a woman, German to a horse, and Spanish to God. Of course, Spanish to God, he was Spanish. So. Sanskrit is good for speaking to God. In Russian, you speak to Russians.
Whatever you just preach.
Yes.
Very interesting and understandable.
But.
For common people like us, if you can summarize it in a week, for about 10 minutes, not much more.
No, I can summarize it much, much, much more briefly.
Briefly?
Yes. No, I can do. I already did. In the lecture, I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahe lam ei maha mantra, iha japa gya shabe kare nibandha, iha hoite sarva shiddhi hoive shabha, sarva kam kaha nam vidhi nahiya. I already quoted this. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted the maha mantra, and he said, everyone can chant this for everybody. That means not only for sannyasis, but for householders also. And everyone can achieve all perfection of life. I also quoted in the lecture, Grihe Thako, Bane Thako, Sada Hare Bane Dako. Whether you're a householder or
Hindi.
Hindi mein, wo dusri baat hai. Agar aap ingreji nahi samajhte hai, to Hindi mein bala. Lekin jo ingreji mein bala tha. Yes. So every day we're having Hindi class here and you're coming, which is very nice. लेकिन कुछ दिन के लिए हमारे सब विदेशी भक्त जो बाहर जाके प्रचार करते हैं तो वापस आए थे इसलिए अभी अंग्रेजी में बोलता हूँ तो आप जरा सा क्षमा कीजिए इट इज व्हाट नो इट्स आल्सो मंत्र डेफिनेटली इट्स मंत्र बट दिस जनरली मंत्र There is consideration of how to chant it. Who is chanting and how to chant. There are many rules and regulations to be followed. But this mantra, because it is Maha Mantra, it is most powerful. It is also Kirtan, it is also the names of God. Therefore, Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhi Hoy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Kayate Shuete Jata Tata Nam Loi, Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sarva Siddhi Hoy. For a mantra, to be successful, it has to be pronounced properly, it has to be pronounced by a competent person with consideration, just like these verses are giving consideration of time, place and circumstance, that you have to be in the right nakshatra, and so many different considerations are there. But with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because it is completely beyond all such considerations being the name of Krishna there, therefore, even when eating, you can't chant mantras when eating. If you're doing a yajna, you can't just...